such a good God, isn't he? And we've done this a few times. We sang the song, and I want us to, we're going to do it again because I think it's such a good reminder of who we are in Christ, what we have when we become a believer. And I think far too often, far too many of us put ourselves down or don't want to walk fully in the authority of who we are as believers. And I think far too many of us sometimes let ourselves get beaten down and want to play the victim role or want to play this role of not walking in the full authority and not walking with who we truly are in Christ. So Alec is going to put up that line that where we just remind ourselves of who we are, okay? So we've done this before. I've asked you guys just to say this with me because this is a reminder of who we are in Christ. This is who we are when we accept Jesus as our Savior. So would you just say this with me today? I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. That's who we are. We are that in Jesus' name. We have power. We are anointed. We are healed. We are whole. And when we're healed and whole, we're healed and whole spiritually, physically, emotionally. We are whole through the power of Jesus Christ and his work, his finished work on the cross. We are whole. We are filled with his power. We have the power of Jesus with us and in us. And when Jesus is going to heaven, he said, you're going to do greater things than I did. He set the bar high and we can go higher. And he wants us to walk in that power because it means that we're putting our full trust and full faith in who he is and what he did on the cross. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came to this earth for us, for me, for each person here, that you want us to walk in that power and authority that you have called us to walk in, that you want us to be praying for each other and praying for healing and heal the sick. God, you want us to see the dead raised up. God, we thank you that you have given us all authority on heaven and earth to do that and to pray for that and to believe for that. God, we praise you and thank you that you have called us to so much more than just everyday mundane life. God, we thank you that you've called us to this good life. And God, we walk in that and we pray that we have an impact in our community around us and those that we talk to and know. Father, I pray that this morning we would be encouraged about that we would be encouraged about what it means to be a citizen of heaven here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, music team. You guys can have a seat, everyone. It's so interesting doing this technology thing where we're streaming online and we've got the fun stuff of where I don't realize it's going to be on air and I'm saying, Ella, get to your post. And to hear it a couple seconds later that it actually made it to Facebook, it's embarrassing, but it's okay. Could be worse, right? I could work for the CBC or something. It's a joke. Stacy's shaking her head. I'll just stop my jokes. So welcome to Sunday Church. It's so good to have you. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're joining us both here, Sunday Church in person, Sunday Church online. We're just glad to have you. And we are in this series that we started last week called Citizenship. So where is your citizenship held? That's a hard word to say. Where is it held? Where is our citizenship held? And as believers, we should be holding our citizenship as citizens of heaven, and we're just visiting here on earth. And it sounds hokey to say, I get that. It sounds weird to say, but this is a critical piece as believers to understand and walk in and to understand and know. So don't think I'm hokey when I say that. You just need, you got to understand and listen to what I'm actually saying here, okay? Most of what we know about government here in Canada is that we have a democracy for government, right? And I love living in a democracy. Democracies are great. It's where we get to get out and vote and decide who is going to be in leadership for our nation. We don't vote them in because they are wiser than everybody else, although some politicians might think they're wiser than the regular person. We don't vote them in because they're wiser than anybody else. Except for Dale, right, Erla? But we don't vote them because they're wiser. We vote them in so that freedom will reign where we are. That's why we vote them in, isn't it? We vote them in to allow freedom to reign in our nation, a freedom to reign in our cities, in our towns, in our communities. And then in every area of our nation, wise leadership can rise up. So in education and things like healthcare and business and families and the media. So our government's job is to keep freedom in a democracy. That's the job of the government in a democracy, to keep freedom. And this isn't a complete diagnosis of government, so don't say, well, Pastor Dave, I studied politics 101, and you're, that's not what I'm saying here. This is just the high level, high arching, what democracy government is to keep freedom alive for its citizens. That's the job. And it's to allow freedom and leadership to rise up in all levels below. So, why do we ask governments to do things like keep you secure rather than just keep you free? When we ask governments to keep us secure, the more things we do, and this isn't going to be a hammering on how we ask governments to be, but this is a key part. In democracy, when we ask governments to keep us secure and do things to keep us secure, in turn, they take away our freedoms. And we need to understand that democracy's job is to maintain our freedoms. So that's an important piece for us to understand about democracies. And the more you ask them to keep you secure, the more you give up your freedoms, soon you will no longer have free will and free decision-making, free anything. You will no longer have things like freedom of thought. Although you can say that that right now is being taken away from us due to things like social media and the media, which I like to call the media propaganda. But we're not going to get into that today. They're platforms. You no longer have free will to move and freedom to move about as you will. Instead, the very government you voted in to keep you free, you have now empowered too much. And they're now determining your way of life rather than creating the thing that they were voted in by you to do, and that is to bring you freedom. That might get me taken off Facebook. That's okay. But today we're going to talk about kingdom and not democracy, because as you probably know, a kingdom is different than a democracy. A kingdom has a king, right? And a kingdom has a king, and earth is a colony of heaven. It's an outpost of the kingdom of heaven. It should have the language of heaven. It should have the culture of heaven. It should have the values of heaven. We should have the morals of heaven, the convictions of heaven, the lifestyles of heaven. And you need to understand that earth was designed as a colony of heaven. And man was made in the image and likeness of God, right? And earth was made in the likeness and image of heaven. So in heaven has food. Heaven has friendship and laughter. It has roads and streets and, or roads, I guess, and streets are the same thing, but streets of gold, much better than our asphalt with potholes or whatever we call our streets in Rosetown. It's a mixture. It's a mixed bag. It's not as bad as Meadow Lake. Trust me. But the earth has the same thing. And when you look at heaven and earth, you understand that they both have some form of homes and relationships. So the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, which basically means the same thing, the kingdom of God basically tells you whose kingdom we belong to. The kingdom of heaven is probably more accurate, as it simply tells us the resources that are available to us. Okay? And I want you to understand that as believers today, too many believers today live in religion rather than in kingdom. I want to say that again because that's a key piece as well. Too many believers today live in religion rather than kingdom. So by that I mean too many of us are too many believers have lived conformed to this rule and this image of what they actually have and don't have for rules, rather than all the blessings and things available in the Word that are there for us in this kingdom of heaven that Jesus lived and brought. John the Baptist, when he came, he continued to declare things like, the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus came, he came and preached about the kingdom of heaven. And in the New Testament, there's over 160 times that they talk about this kingdom. Now, kingdom has a king, and that king owns it all, right? That king is the one who determines how that country, how that nation, how that kingdom goes. That king determines the direction that it is moving, right? And we need to know that Jesus is our king. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Now you have to, in order to understand God's word and to function in the miraculous, you have to understand that earth is a colony of heaven. So no wonder when Jesus taught us to pray and in other portions of Scripture, it talks about his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And the same values, the same language, the culture, morals, convictions, lifestyles, health, prosperity, things of heaven should be here on earth, on this colony. And the Bible declares very clearly that you and I in Matthew 16 and in Matthew 18, that all authority have I given to you and I, right? So whatsoever we loose and allow is what is allowed on this colony or this outpost of earth. That's what is allowed here. Whatever we allow, that's what's allowed. So whatever is stopped or bound is what is going to be stopped and bound on this place as well. And God has given mankind the job or the authority of having dominion and ruling over this planet. And far too often we believers, well, I wish I had a chair up here because I'd sit back and cross my arms. Well, whatever God wants to do, I guess he'll do. But we've been given dominion and authority on this planet. So when we're talking about the kingdom of light, we're talking about something called the kingdom of knowledge. And when we talk about the kingdom of knowledge, it is the kingdom that you cannot reach with the five senses. There is a kingdom, there is a knowledge or an understanding that comes from this kingdom. And understanding is the strength of the heart, it's not of the mind. The mind simply secures and gathers knowledge. And wisdom is the application knowledge. It's bringing this knowledge to working in your life. You and I have to make a decision. All of us have desires and desires for things in life. And we sit back and we judge the Bible. And we want this, but we want that, and we want this. And we want it this way and our way, rather than the way that the Word lays it out for us. So the vast majority of believers today, in today's world, if they die and they were born again, they go to be with Jesus in this place called heaven. Right? But while they're on the planet, here on earth, with us, rather than living like they are a citizen of heaven, they're living in the culture and the values of this fallen world that we live in. Then religion comes along and just tries to make you think, well, maybe it's part of God's plan that you're poor. It's part of God's plan that you're sick. It's part of God's plan that you're depressed. It's part of God's plan that you're unhappy. It's part of God's plan that you're lacking in relationships. It's part of God's plan that you're just in financial disarray and things are just going down. It's part of God's plan. And we say, religion keeps us saying these stupid things. If you're offended, I'm sorry if I said stupid. But these silly things we'll say. It's these stupid things. The religion will have you think these stupid things are real. And this is why it's like this, is because it's God's plan. But the reality is, it is not God's plan. See, We say stupid things like this, and this is how we, for somehow, some way, give God glory. But the reality is that's not what he wants. Religion has destroyed our ability to be citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That's what religion has done. And if somebody's watching from one of our other POC churches somewhere, somehow, they're gonna be like all mad at me because I said that, but that's okay, they can get over it. See, because we're called to so much more than what a lot of churches or what religion will tell us and what religion will have us believe. We are called to so much more. And this is a challenging one to speak about, guys, okay? And I may pause the odd time because this is a hard one. Because not everybody's going to agree with you. But that's okay. They can be wrong. In the end, this, in my opinion, this understanding of being a citizen of heaven and living like it here on earth, it's not one of those pieces that affect our salvation. It affects how we live, but it doesn't affect whether we die, we go to heaven or not. It affects completely how we live and the authority we can walk with and the blessings we can live with and the things that we can do here on earth. That's what it affects. So if you want to be a beat-down believer, turn me off and that's fine. Go ahead. But I want us to have so much more. See, there's something about being a citizen. There's a difference between someone who is a citizen and someone who is a member. Okay? And when you're a citizen of a country, of that country, you have access to the wealth, you have access to the resources, that's accessible by you. And where you go, you represent your country, right? You can be a member of a club and or a group, but you cannot be a member of a nation. You cannot be a member of heaven, you are a citizen of heaven. And once you are a citizen of a nation, like Canada, for instance, once you're a Canadian citizen, they can't take that away. You may lose some rights, you may lose some freedoms if you break the law, if you hurt someone, but once you become a citizen, they can't remove that membership or that citizenship from you. You can give it up, that's something you can do. You can say, I no longer want to be a part of this nation, here's my citizenship. But they can't say, you just jaywalked. Give me your citizenship. Get back to South Africa, Gary. You jaywalked. They can't do that. Right? Am I wrong? Gary, am I wrong? Have you ever had a speeding ticket? Yes. And have they taken away your citizenship? You might lose some rights and freedoms if you break the law, if you hurt someone, but you can't remove your citizenship. In order for us to understand the kingdom of heaven, we need to lose our religious thinking. And we need to recognize that when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist said, there are two kingdoms here on this planet, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Right? And the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of light. The kingdom of ignorance to the things and the ways of God. And there's the kingdom of knowledge. And scripture tells us that my people perish for lack of knowledge. So what knowledge? The knowledge of God, of course. The knowledge of kingdom that you are in but cannot see. And it's not the observation, but this kingdom is within you. The kingdom in the Bible says is literally righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we talk today, as we continue this talk, that you will seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing. And we're going to talk more about this here. So we need to have some priorities in life. And with this, I could give you here are the 10 things in life that if you do these 10 things, you're going to live life strong. And maybe you say, hey, I'm going to do items 4 to 8 really amazing. I'm going to follow them to a T. I got it. And 8 to 10, you know, yeah, kind of once in a while. And 1 to 3, though, I'm just going to ignore. There's a priority, and your priorities must be looked after. And you can't just do that. You need to seek first something. And you need to look after all these priorities. So Matthew 6, 32, 34 says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek." Another word to say seek here is aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, which means his way of doing things and being right, the attitude, the character of God. "And all these things will be given to you also. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about yourself. Each day has enough troubles on its own." So first, our first priority is to what? Seek first, right? I didn't see seek second, the kingdom of God. Didn't see seek third or fourth or fifth, 6, 7, 8, or 9, or 10. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means his way of doing things. And the Bible talks about paths to righteousness. These are the paths that you should have to take. So Ephesians 2:10 tells us this: "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us." So these paths are created for you ahead of time. And so one of the keys to you living a good life filled with the power of the kingdom of God, and you walking on this planet in the blessings and the belief style of heaven, in peace and joy and meeting every need, walking in health, living the right lifestyle, the right life, you and I need to understand the kingdom of God. We need to understand the kingdom. We need to seek the kingdom first. So let's jump back to Matthew 6:33 again. "But first and most importantly, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things." See, we all have our own way of doing things, don't we? Who would say they have their own way of tying their shoes? Who has their own way of putting on their makeup, doing their hair, whatever it might be? Some of us don't have hair to do. I have hair. But we all take a little bit of Christianity, and then we put our little spin on it and do it our way because we don't totally trust God. And when you don't trust God to do things his way, you're saying, "God, I don't trust you. How do I put this all in your hands?" And when you read the word, it promises what it says, doesn't it? And when you don't obey the word, you're saying, "God, I don't trust you." If you read the word and you don't live according to what it says, if you don't step it out, you're saying, "God, I don't trust you." That might have been really loud on the mic, sorry. And you're an outsider living in a fallen world under your own ability, and you're not enjoying the culture here on earth. You're not enjoying the lifestyle, because while you're on earth, you're still a citizen of heaven. You're not enjoying the values of heaven, the peace, the joy, the blessings, the righteousness from being under this kingdom of God today. And like I said, when you die, you go to heaven. But we can enjoy these benefits today while on earth, while we're living on this outpost. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why? I can't think of a reason. Maybe somebody's got a great reason and you're going to enlighten me to this reason. But I don't know why the heck, can I say that? Yeah. Why the heck you wouldn't want to live with the benefits of heaven today? Why? Is there a good reason? That seems crazy to me. It seems ludicrous. See, this is crucial to understand. If we go back when Britain and France and other countries set up colonies, Canada was a colony once, right? And when they would go set up colonies, and we would set up things. And like if you went to Africa, in the middle of Africa, there's nations that still speak French, right? And so these countries set up outposts and colonies, and they brought their language, they brought their traditions, they brought their food, their laws, and the people that came to that country from other countries, and even those that were there already, they would change their citizenship to French, France, whatever. I guess French isn't a country. It's a mustard. They would change it to France as their country. They would change their citizenship to, I'm a citizen of France. And if they were in that outpost and they became that citizen of that country, things changed in their life. And it changes everything in your life when you become a citizen of heaven. When you become a believer, your citizenship changes. And just like when France went and set up a colony there in the middle of Africa, I think the Congo speaks French. But when you set up an outpost and you set up a country in somewhere else other than the homeland, so heaven is our set up an outpost here on earth, and when we become a citizen of heaven, things should change with us, shouldn't it? And if you're living in there and things should change in your life, everything should change in your life. If you've become that person that has given your life to Jesus Christ and you're not enjoying being a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom of God, then you're missing something. You're living a life that is not what it should be. You're living a life missing the benefits of your citizenship. And we need to be living in that citizenship and enjoying the benefits of that country. Shouldn't we be? See, you're living your life, or you're living as if you're a citizen of a kingdom that is not doing anything for you here on earth. Why? I sounded angry. I'm sorry, I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. See, it's already been done, but you're not accessing its values, its lifestyle, its protection of and its resources. See, has anybody ever left Canada as a country? Who's left Canada? Most of us have left Canada, okay? And where you go as a Canadian citizen, you most of us will say, I represent Canada when you go there, right? And as people talk about us, whichever country we're in, they talk about us as, oh, there's the Canadians, right? People used to put little Canadian pins or flags on their backpacks so people would know they're the Canadians. They should be friendly, they should be happy, they should be joyful. They're Canadians, they're nice. Wherever I go, I'm Canadian, which literally means I get the benefits of being a Canadian, and don't mess with me because the Canadian government's coming and got my back. They have my back when I'm in that nation, right? So when I go to a country and they stamp my passport, well, they don't stamp it anymore, but they scan my passport now. When they scan my passport, that means that they are now going to accept me and offer me the protections that they can to keep my way as a Canadian citizen the same here as it is there. That's what they're agreeing to. I have to obey their laws as well, but here's the stamp that says, I accept you. Ka-chunk. I don't know if that's what a stamp sounds like, but it's the best noise I could come up with. And we can walk about and know that we have protection and freedom. So you have to understand that the more you study kingdoms and citizenships, the more you will recognize that the Bible is about a country, or better yet, the Bible is about a kingdom. And this kingdom has a king, and this kingdom has citizens, And we are the citizens as believers. We are the citizens of this kingdom while we are here on earth. And we have all the rights and the privileges that go with being a citizen. And this might sound boring because I feel like I'm in social studies class right now, but these are key principles to understanding life in this kingdom of God here on earth. That is why when someone comes to Canada, the U.S., they want to become a citizen. That's why people are trying to climb a big giant border wall and from Mexico to the U.S. That is why someone who comes here wants to become a citizen. They don't just want a green card and say, oh, I belong, I'm a member. They want to become a citizen with all the rights and the privileges, because when you're a citizen, you are in. And there are many things we can talk about with respect to the kingdom, and we could talk about it, but I know some of you are going to get hungry soon. But I want you to know this. If your life is not enjoying the benefits of being in the kingdom of God, there's something you're missing. I know this is the third time I've said that this morning, but this is key. The access to living in the kingdom of God on this planet is your heart. That's what's stopping you. Your heart. It's not your head. It's your heart. It's your heart making the decision. It's your heart that's leading you. And you could try to think of things through all you want, but the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 4:23 to guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it flows the boundaries of your life. It's your heart that's not allowing you to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. It's your heart that's stopping you from walking in the miracles of the kingdom of heaven. It's your heart that's stopping you from walking in the prosperity of the kingdoms of heaven. It's your heart that's stopping you from, do you get what I'm saying? It goes back to your heart. Too many of us are too busy trying to fill our head with head knowledge rather than understand the heart and the heart knowledge that God has given us. And He wants to continue to pour into your heart. Do you know that you as a believer, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, that there are boundaries that you need to begin to understand, but you have set these boundaries so small that you don't believe that you can live in peace. You don't believe that God can change your relationship. You don't believe that God can change your health. That you don't believe that God can change your finances. So you manipulate, you withdraw, you dominate, you try to force the way you need these things to be in your life, rather than allowing the blessings and the, and I don't even know the word for infinityism, the boundlessness of your heart. You're setting these boundaries, and rather than setting boundaries, you could live boundless. It's the condition of your heart. It's not the word. It's not the seed. The Bible is not what's holding you back. It's your heart is holding you back. And Peter teaches that the seed is not killable. The Bible is not killable. But like we said in Matthew 6:33, but first and most importantly, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing these things, and all these things will be added unto you. So our first priority, seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not sixth, not seventh, not eighth, not ninth, not tenth. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These are the paths we need. So something else. I know this is a different message than normal. That's okay. So all of Jesus' parables, there's people that struggle with Jesus' parables because sometimes they say His parables don't look like grace. That's what I've heard people say. And Jesus' parables, in most cases, are not about how to be born again. Some of them are. A majority of them are talking about things like the kingdom. That's what Jesus' parables are talking about. And how, while on this planet, how to walk in things like health and the miraculous and walk in protection. If you look at the stories of the parables that Jesus shared, the main thought pattern here is how to live this kingdom life here on earth. See, no one took Jesus' life that we just celebrated Easter. No one took Jesus' life. Did we know that? See, this is the problem. Too many people look like, oh, they took his life. No, Jesus freely laid his life down for you and I. At any moment, Jesus could have called 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 angels. And bang, it would have been done. But Jesus emptied himself of all authority as God, and he came as man. And he laid out his life for you. So your heart is crucial. You have to determine to spend time in God's word. You have to determine to spend time with the Father in prayer. You need to know his word and understand what his word tells you. And as it begins to touch your heart, be open to a relationship with Jesus, and as his presence and his spirit touch your life, you will begin to believe things that go against your fearful upbringing, your fearful life as you were growing and maturing. Because far too many of us, and we talked about this last week very briefly about our soup, as Bill likes to call it, our soup is what holds us, a lot of us back. Our soup, our upbringing, our lifestyle, the things that we were raised with, our previous leaders, spiritual leaders, parents, whatever, that holds you back from walking in the full authority that Jesus has for us, because we've just accepted what they've said, or accepted bad doctrine, accepted boundaries in our life, rather than press out and step out and say, what does God really say about this? What authority do I have? And that's what we need to step out of. We need to step out of that fearful upbringing and look and say, I'm a child of the kingdom of heaven. We need to step out when someone says, well, no one else is doing it, so you're going to have to look after yourself. Has anybody ever said that? Got to look after me. I got to look after number one. We need to step out and go against this fearful outlook that so many pastors and churches want you to have, because they don't want you to walk and live a life full of faith and blessings and walk in the Word. And faith becomes things like this attacking thing. Have you heard people talk about faith in an attacking way? And I've heard people use this verse from Matthew 11:12, actually, about what faith actually does. And it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Sounds like a great start to a crazy medieval movie. I don't know. But it talks about how they are taking the kingdom of heaven by violence. And people are reading that wrong. It's not saying that you can. It's saying they're trying. You can't take the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven that you are in here on this planet, is a kingdom that operates on faith. And faith is of the heart, isn't it? The Bible says you cannot doubt in your heart. You must believe with your heart. The word of faith is the word faith, sorry, is a Greek word. You know what it means? It means trust. It doesn't mean fight, it doesn't mean attack, it doesn't mean violence, it means trust, full trust. And Jesus tells us to take my yoke upon you, right? Jesus tells us that my way of thinking is good, it's light. Jesus says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Jesus tells us to come to me and you will find rest, doesn't it? So rest for your souls. People are so hard fighting religion, fighting this, and they're weary trying to get results when they don't need to get results, because they haven't learned to enter the kingdom of God and walk in the kingdom. They haven't learned to enjoy life in the kingdom. All the kingdom privileges and principles and the privileges and rights that have already been done for us. See, this is not a battle we have to fight. This battle's already been won. These principles are already there. These rights are already there. We just need to walk in them and live in them. We need to step out from this stinking thinking, and we need to step into the life that Christ has already laid out in his kingdom. But people are so busy trying to fight because they haven't learned to enter the kingdom. They haven't learned to enjoy the kingdom. They haven't learned to enjoy the principles of the kingdom and the rights that have been given to them. And your heart is the doorway to that kingdom. And if you don't deal with your heart issues, you're going to find it really hard to walk in the kingdom. So Matthew 3, 1 to 2 says, "In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Why are those two things put together? Now, when we hear the word repent, where do we automatically go? We automatically go to these horrible sins, all these things that we've done wrong, all of our sins and transgressions. We go there. That's the first place we go, isn't it? For most people, that's the first place that we go. But that's not what it's saying here. It's not saying to repent, weep, cry. The word repent means to change the way you think. You need to change the way you believe and think, which would change the way you act. And then Jesus also says this in Matthew 4, 17. It says, from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. It's here. It's not coming in 2,000 years. It's not coming when Pastor Dave gets to Rosetown Community Church. It's not coming when, I don't know who, somebody comes. It's not coming when you jump up and down and can scratch your nose and rub your toes. I don't know. The kingdom of heaven is here. And when Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, when he gave his life for you and I, and as we continue to say his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father from the cross to the throne, these are the key things because the kingdom of heaven is here. We're not begging and praying, Jesus, let your kingdom come. God, bring your kingdom here. That's not what we're doing. It's here. The kingdom is here. And when Jesus was saying thousands of years ago that the kingdom was at hand, he meant it's here. It was about to happen. And we have the opportunity to be born again, you and I, and have the governor of the colony that was there back in the Garden of Eden here. Before Adam and Eve came against the king and his kingdom and disobeyed the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit left their human spirit, he is here. He is back with us. So what Jesus did on that cross, paying for your sin, taking the curse of the sin, dying in our place, for what you and I have to do is we have to repent every day. We have to change our way of thinking. And maybe you're like, what are you talking about, Dave? Come on. I'm not talking about every day go and list your sins. Okay, yeah, so I was walking down the street and oh, that pretty girl walked by. I checked her out. I got to repent for that. I put in $20.10, and I only gave him a 20 for gas. Stole some gas. I ordered a small milkshake, and they gave me a large milkshake, and I only paid for the whole check. Stealing again. And I did. No, that's not what you need to do when it says repent daily. That's not what I'm telling you. You don't need to list your sins and your transgressions. I'm not talking about that the cross was not a finished work. The cross is a finished work. I'm talking about changing your mind every day. The way you think, the way you believe, the way you go after things in your life. That's what we need to change. We need to repent on. We need to think on. Where it is you, maybe self-centered, self-focused, self-governing, self-faith, that you're going to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Have you ever heard that? I'm going to change. I'm going to turn things around. That was a good one, right? I'm going to turn things around. Until you repent of the self-centeredness and believe in the finished work of cross and what Jesus has already done, what he has already brought for us, then you will walk in the favor and blessings of God in an easy and effortless way. And you can go into God's word and you can say, God, change me. Help me know your word. Help me pick up my cross daily. What does that mean? It means to die daily to your tiny, puny thinking. Because too many of us think too small. We think of things like, oh, God, if I could just have that 200 square foot tiny home, when he in fact has a mansion for you. We need to die to the idea of like, oh God, just give me, what's those little white, those little cars back in the day? You know what I mean. What did Grandpa have for a car? Chevette. And you got to say, God, just give me this little 1979 Chevette so I can get from point A to point B. When he's got a Lamborghini Countach, because that's what I used to want when I was a kid, for you. Stop thinking puny and start thinking big, because God's got big things for us. We need to die daily with how we do relationships at work and in life. We need to die daily to how we get money to work. We need to die daily of how we get things to happen. And let's begin to recognize, like it says in Matthew 6:33, where it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or as I've been reading it all day, all morning, I guess, from the Amplified Version, where it says, but first and most importantly, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all these things shall be added up to you. All these things shall be added up to you. Just my bottle of water? That's all I want. Just my bottle of water. No, all these things shall be added unto you. This is the thing we think so small and so puny. When we should be thinking big. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you worn out? Have you had enough of trying to change your relationships, your business, your situation, your friendships, your family, your career, your mind, your this, your that? Are you living with loneliness, anxiety, depression? Are you struggling with your health? It's so easy to blame those closest to you, to us, but we need to understand, until we die to our stinking thinking, our puny mindset, until we die to doing things that we want to do the way we want to get them done, we need to repent and change the way we think, change the way we act, change the way we believe, change the way we live, and immerse ourselves fully in God's word and immerse ourselves and fully into God's teaching. And start a life of being able to enter into his kingdom today. I don't mean the place where you go and get hit by a car. That's not what I mean by entering into his kingdom today. I mean today, right here. I don't want to see any of you go for a long time. So we're going to walk in his kingdom here today, okay? Kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God here on earth, as a citizen with full rights. You know what your rights are? I'm going to invite Mary up, and right away, she can come up now. Our rights are things like miracles. That's your right. Healings are your rights. See, Jesus has won every promise of the Bible through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. He's won every promise from the Bible for us today. Those are our rights. It's yours. He has qualified you for it. Blessings, financial blessings. That's your rights. Wholeness, that's your right. It's yours. So why are so many people not entering the kingdom? Not enjoying this kingdom life? It's not because the word of God doesn't work. It's not because the word of God isn't true. It's not because the cross didn't work for us. It's because you need to die to your way of thinking and doing things and humbly come daily and begin the change, the heart change that we need. You need to allow those barriers. Too many of us have been like little homesteaders, and we've built up little chain link fences around our property and saying, hey, nothing comes in, nothing goes out. We need to knock those down and be like the original homesteaders and said, all this land is mine. Everything I see is mine. It's for me. Don't you think you can come in onto my homestead? This is all mine. Let's get the horses, Mom. We got to go deal with the Lees as they are trying to move in on my space. Sorry, Lau. So-and-so's trying to encroach on my space. Get back. Let's get the horses and get the muskets. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying, right? We need to not allow anybody to encroach on the blessings and the kingdom of God that he has given us, because we can walk on that here on earth today. Jesus taught us to seek first the kingdom of God. He taught us that if we didn't do certain things, we would not be able to enter the kingdom of God. He taught us that the kingdom of God dominated the kingdom of darkness. When Jesus came, for the first time in centuries, Satan's kingdom was being rocked by a kingdom far more powerful than anything he had. And yet we're still busy here trying to, oh, Satan! We're part of a kingdom that dominated that. We've talked for weeks and probably months about how the conquering king would cut off the toes and cut off the thumbs so that the other conquering king could come and not wield a sword, so we wouldn't have to be fearful, yet we still give him a sword and thumbs and thinks he's got power? Start walking with the power and authority of the kingdom that we've been given. See, the kingdom of... the kingdom of knowledge is the same as the kingdom of God in heaven. Because light... when you're part of God's kingdom, you're part of the kingdom of light, are we not? And light literally means knowledge. If you trace back the language, it means knowledge. And darkness literally actually means... oh, now I'm drawing a blank on the word. Lack of knowledge. Ignorance, that's the word, thank you. See, we'll keep you around, Bill. Darkness literally means ignorance. So why would we continue to walk around in this kingdom of darkness, in this kingdom of ignorance, when we can walk around in this kingdom of light and knowledge? It doesn't make sense to me. We need to not allow our heart to create the blockages, and we need to break down our walls, break down our fences, and let's walk in the full authority, the full blessing that's available to us as a church and as individuals. Doesn't that sound good? I think it does. And maybe you're like, oh, this sounds weird, Dave, but it sounds like something I want to be a part of. And maybe you don't know Jesus. And I want to invite you to give you an opportunity to walk in this kingdom of heaven, to join Team Jesus, to become a believer, to cross that line from knowing maybe about God, hearing about God, but not knowing him, to becoming part of the team that you know God. You are now. You can now place your bag down, your passport down, and says, I'm a citizen of heaven, and I get all the rights. Stamper, please. I'll give you the option. And I'm going to invite you. I think I've hit this too often because it's got a pretty good lean. Don't worry, Lyle. It's good. I'll fix her up. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So if the Holy Spirit stirred you, if you've had your heart stirred, you're like, yes, I want to join that kingdom. I want to join that team. All you got to do is nothing special other than just a simple prayer of obedience. That's all we're doing. And I'm going to invite you to say that prayer with me today. And if you know Jesus already, I'm going to ask that you just repeat this prayer with me so that if somebody doesn't know Jesus, they feel comfortable and ready. So would you just pray after me if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and come on to Team Jesus? And if you know Jesus, like I said, just please repeat this simple prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place and to usher in this new kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. So Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and from today on, I'm walking in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's you today. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you asked Jesus in your heart, if you've asked to join the kingdom of God, I'm going to ask that you call me at the church, 306-882-2453, or email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca, message me on Facebook or YouTube, call the church, call the church, email the church. Or if you're here, you want to talk, just talk to me. I want to give you a Bible, and I want to connect you. if you're in town to a church, to us here, or if you're from out of town, we'll find you a good Bible-based church where you're at. So before we close today, there's something I do want to do, though. And I wanted just to take a moment to pray for our leaders, just a simple prayer. Because we have leaders in our nation and in our democracy, as we talked about at the start of the service, that are not necessarily executing things that are according to the democracy of which we voted them in for. And we've allowed, as the church, far too long for not praying and just complaining. We're going to pray right now for them. And as we close that prayer, we're going to pray together that if some of us have been maybe not necessarily walking in this kingdom here on earth of heaven as an outpost, but we've been holding back and we've kept our chain link fence around to protect our property, we're going to pray for that opportunity for you as well. So would you guys stand and pray with me? And let's pray for these leaders. And I know, I want to say something to you. I know that when you guys are here for Bible study nights, you guys are praying for leaders, but corporately as a church on Sunday morning with those online, we're just going to take a moment now as well. That's what this is about. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, we come before you, God, and we pray for our leaders of this nation, of this province, of our town, of our RMs, wherever we're at. We pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge would come upon them. That they would have eyes of understanding, God. Father, we pray this over our governments, nationally, for Canada, for provincially in Saskatchewan, here in Rosetown, and all of the RMs, God, we pray for them. We pray for this knowledge and wisdom to come over our healthcare system. We pray for any corruption within our healthcare system that it would be destroyed and beaten down right now and sent straight to the pit of hell where it belongs. We pray this over our business leaders in our communities. We pray this over the media, Father, right now, that honesty and truth shall reign, and that fear and disparity and walls and borders and barriers would be destroyed and broken down, Father. Father, we pray right now for our education system, God, that the wisdom that you can only bring would reign in our education system from the school board office to the teachers to the janitors, Father, that right through the entire system, Father, your truth would reign, that fear would be destroyed, and that truth and your justice would reign. Father, we pray that wisdom would be upon them all, and that they would see truth in everything. Father, we pray that you would guide each level of leadership that we've prayed for today, Father. God, we pray for churches and pastors, Father, and church leadership and denominational leadership, Father, that wisdom would reign there, Father, that they would each would stand on your truth, Father, that is found in your word. Father, we pray for Holy Spirit revelation for all of us pastors and all of us leaders. Father, we pray that you would guide us. All leadership, Father, we pray that you would guide us and surround us all with right people, and that wisdom would reign, that truth would reign, and justice would reign. Father, right now we pray that any leader that rises up against your people and their freedoms, Father, right now we pray that you would take them out in Jesus' name. We ask that they would be gone in Jesus' name, and that you would replace them, Father, with the right leaders, Father, that have the right heart and that seek your justice and your mercy, God. That they would do what they've been elected and voted in to do, and that would be to pursue freedom. rather than take freedoms. Father, we pray for leaders who are after your heart. Leaders who will follow your will and your way of thinking. Who have a heart for people and a heart for freedom. God, we pray for these leaders. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, right now we pray for each and every individual here. Father, if we've been building up walls, if we've been building up fences to hold our own sense of truth in, to hold our own sense of kingdom in, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that we would drop those fences, that we would cut that chain link or barbed wire, Father, and we would just allow your truth to reign in our lives, Father, that we would seek first your kingdom, Father, and your righteousness, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the truth and the righteousness that you brought in through Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to your right hand, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you that you brought us victory. We thank you that we can walk in victory. So, Father, right now, if any of us have to repent for something, Father, in our hearts, Father, I pray that we take the moment right now to repent and to change, to turn from our ways and our thoughts into your ways of kingdom life, Father, that you've called us to have. God, we love you and we honor you, Father. We celebrate the victory that you brought us on the cross through your death, burial, resurrection, ascension. We are excited for things that are happening in our lives, Father, through you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the health, for the prosperity, for everything you've given us, God. We thank you. And we will continue to seek after you as a church in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless, guys. Have a great week. For those of you watching online, have an awesome week, and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless. Guys, we're going to ask you to stay standing. If you need prayer, the altars are open up front. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk to you. And if you have to go, we'll catch you at the door. But by all means, stay for, we're going to sing a couple more songs. I'm going to invite the rest of the music team up. And yeah, just join us in song as we sing. And like I said, if you need prayer, come on up.